Oh, yeah, I talk to this end of the phone down where my mouth goes. Okay, that makes sense. Well, this is Stories and Stuff, and I'm Joy Bubbles, your storyteller here in Minneapolis. And I had a nice surprise last June 30th. Well, it all started a few weeks before that when people that my family in Australia, the mother who adopted me and some other people there were talking to me about a spelling bee. They had known that I was a very good speller. And they said, how would you like to enter that? And I said, well, gosh, I've never entered a spelling bee in Australia before. And, well, you know, it's about time, and we'll just set it up, and we'll be in a hotel or meeting room, and there'll be plenty of phones there, and we'll have a phone line to Australia where the spelling bee is, and you'll be on a conference speakerphone there and everything, so everybody can hear you spell and everything. And it's okay. But afterwards, I got thinking, what if I get out, I'm very last in the whole bee. The first word they ask me is something that I spell wrong. Maybe it's a little word and I don't even remember how to spell it. Dog, D-A-W-G, and the bell rings and I'm out, just like that, 5 minutes. And the coach, I got the Dawn, my mother got me a spelling coach, and an invigilator. An invigilator is somebody that watches over a test to make sure you do it right. And my mother, Dawn, all would be coming to be with me, and they fly all the way from Australia, and I let them down. So I told Dawn, I decided not to enter this thing. You did? Oh, I don't believe it. You know, and she was pretty sad. I said, because I'd be last, and that'd feel awful. I could be. So she said, I'll tell you what. Your spelling coach, Miriam, she's coming over. I'm going to make sure she has a ticket and comes over to stop by, and you can have lunch, and you just tell her what you're thinking, just so she'll understand why you're decided not to enter and everything, and just a nice, friendly lunch. So, you know, she wasn't coming to try to talk me out of it. You know, at least she was just coming for us to eat lunch together. And so Miriam came, my spelling coach, and the one that was going to go over 20,000 words with me, except now I wasn't going to enter. And she bribed me with 3 orders of strawberry shortcake. And I wanted some wild rice soup, too, and she ordered a steak. And we were in the restaurant talking, and I told her I wasn't going to enter. And she said something like, you know, champions, they get in and play the game. You know, sometimes they play hurt, too. And most of the time, a lot of times, champions don't win. They play and play and, you know, sometimes don't even score at all. But they're still glad, and their coach is glad. Everybody's glad that they came to the game and tried. And I don't know, she got talking, and I kept eating some more of that strawberry shortcake. It was huge, big old good. I had wanted strawberry shortcake for a long time. And all of a sudden, I just started thinking and thinking, and finally I said, Miriam, did you bring any words with you? Oh, I sure did. I got a stack of them. Why? And I said, you know, August 4th isn't very long from now, so I guess we better get started. And she was so happy, she cried. And because she wanted to be a coach, you know, my coach and everything. Well, the waitress left a note on the table. We don't know who it was from, but it said, Dear Champ, you know, in my whole life I've been called things, but I've never, never been called a champion like that. Dear Champ, we couldn't help but overhear your conversation. It was just so inspiring. You made our day. And it said, Dear Coach, a coach that coaches a champion is a champion coach. And, you're something special. By the way, P.S., don't worry, your bills are all paid. So whoever it was, it might have been the couple that was sitting a table or so away from us, Miriam said, that paid our bill. We don't know. But just overhearing her talk about champions and stuff and me deciding to enter, they decided to pay the bill, and they ended saying, good luck on the spelling bee. You're a winner regardless. So, it's just a few days away now, August 4th, and I'll tell you another story and let you know how it goes if I do drop out on the last word, or if I'm, imagine, last in the bee. It could happen. Well, with all this heat around here, I think I'm going to tell you a cold story. When I was little, me and my sister would come home from school, and Daddy and Mommy were gone, you know. Daddy at work and mother kind of helped her out, helped him out at the job, you know, and it would get pretty quiet around the house, especially since the radio had burned out a tube in the radio back when they used glass tubes. And we would just, in the quiet, sometimes just imagine a little tinkling music box and imagine that we heard music in the distance. And imagine until we thought we heard it, and it got louder and louder, a little music box like playing Pop Goes the Weasel or something like that, different tunes. And we'd say, "The ice cream man, the ice cream man," and we'd go outside and be jumping up and down, "The ice cream man," and he'd come. And even if we changed our minds three or four times, he would give us the ice cream we wanted, and Daddy and Mommy had left us the money so we could buy it. And that was the best part of the whole day, every day, getting that good, cold ice cream. Until one day, Daddy came home and he walked differently. We noticed things like that. Daddy said, "Honey, I lost my job, and I got to tell you, we can't buy the ice cream every day anymore." And Daddy sounded so sad. I used to like to comfort him. You know, I said, "Oh, I don't think I like ice cream anymore anyway." And, "Well, I'm glad of that, because you won't be able to get any." And so when the ice cream man, I was hoping he would just sort of know and not come, but he came the next day, and we stayed in the house, you know, and he kept dinging and dinging, "Go away, mean old ice cream man, go away." And my sister was crying, and I was sort of pretending not to. And we finally went out and told him, "We don't like ice cream anymore. Go away." And so he got out of the truck and came over and sort of knelt down near us and asked us just what in the world happened. And I told him about Daddy losing his job and everything and how, you know, he said we couldn't have any ice cream and he sounded so sad. And so I just decided I didn't like it so Daddy would feel better. And he said, "Well," he started to walk away, and then he came back and said, "You know, I don't know, maybe you two could help me out. I need to find some kids about 7 and 9 years old, maybe, to help me with this." "Well, we'll try. What do you need?" "Well, I got this leftover ice cream, you see. And I can't sell leftover ice cream, and I need a couple kids about your age to give it to, you know, and to take it, you know, and enjoy it, you know. You know, it's leftover and everything, but not very long leftover. It's still real good, but I just can't sell that. I got to find, like I said, some kids to give it to. Do you think you'd know some that could help me out?" "We could help you out." You know, we were such nice kids thinking of other people on a real hot, sweaty Florida day, and we were willing to go way out of our way and do the man a favor, you know. And so we decided that, yeah, we could help him out, you know. And he thanked us and everything as he gave us the leftover ice cream. And so we were kind of cynical, I guess, had learned from my parents about things. And we said, "Now that he knows we don't have any money, we'll never see him again." Oh, that's sad. But you know what? He came the next day, and we were trying to decide whether to even go out there or not. And he hollered, "Leftover ice cream! Leftover ice cream! Come and get it!" So we ran out there, and "Could you help me out again?" "Yeah." It's always nice to find such nice kids that could do a man a favor. And even when we changed our mind, he seemed to have all the flavors we wanted all left over that day. And he came back the next day, and the next day, and the next, and the next week, and the next 2 whole months, every day, that man came by with leftover ice cream for us when Daddy didn't have the job. And even gave us the flavor we wanted, even when we did make 3 choices. And it was really good, too, even though it was leftover. Until finally, one day, we came out and said, "Daddy got a job! Daddy got a job! We don't need leftover ice cream anymore." And he said, "Are you sure?" And I said, "Yeah, here's the money that Daddy gave us." And he was so surprised. He said, "Well, let me find some regular ice cream." And, you know, he gave us that, and it didn't taste any better than the leftover. It was amazing that every day he had come like that for 2 months. And finally, a while later, it was time for us to move. So me and my sister wrote him a note. We said, "Dear Ice Cream Man, You have cold ice cream and a warm heart. We'll remember you forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Love, the leftover ice cream kids. And we gave it to him in Braille, and he said, hey, I can't read with my fingers like you do. You got to read it to me. And so we did, and he said, well, you know what? I'm going to keep that in my wallet forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, too. And maybe he did. I never thought that 50 years later I'd be on a phone system like this telling his story. He probably is gone by now, maybe, but in our hearts, he'll live forever. And on a hot summer day like this, and I don't have air conditioning, his memory, his warm memory, keeps me cold and cool. Leftover ice cream. Well, next week there'll be a spelling bee story, and stay strong, take care of each other, and don't let God laugh alone, and find some time to play. Bye for now.
Begin speaking at the tone. When you're finished, hang up or press pound for more options.